And I know it's the very heart of the Lord that he calls us to be a worshipping people. And we had a really lovely morning yesterday down in a place called Kapur Estate. I might be pronouncing completely wrong. Is that right? Kapur? Oh, no. What's that? Kapur. Here you go. There you go. That's the correct pronunciation. And it's down in towards County Wicklow, and it's right in the middle of the countryside. It's an absolutely beautiful place. And we came together, about three quarters of the worship team, and we had a time of worship, a time of sharing about worship, and a time of praying for each other. And one of the things, I suppose, when I looked around the room as I was leading was, I just blown away, but what amazing worship team we've got at this church. And I just thought, gosh, aren't we lucky? And I was thinking, churches would die for the worship team we have. And it was just wonderful just to be able to, just to be able to be with them and to begin to share something of what God has taught me about worship and obviously what God has taught them. And worship for me, and that's one of the things I was going to say earlier, was that one of the reasons I had Brenton Brown over, and the reason why, did people enjoy that evening with Brenton Brown in terms of, it's good, wasn't it? But I think one of the things for me that really spoke aloud regarding worship was this, that when Brenton was able to share his testimony of the journey he'd been on and the road he'd walked. And I think so often we see people up on a Sunday and we think, aren't they lucky being able to do that? But they actually don't often realize the journey that God leads us on, why we're doing what God has called us to do. Because the thing that Jesus is always doing is he's shaping us. He wants us to be like his son. And so there's always a process that involves, and it's often quite a challenging one. So what I put here is this, that worship is a journey of discovery, a journey that Jesus himself was leading us on. It's a journey where our ultimate destination is heavenward, but on that journey, God is revealing himself, preparing us to worship God forever. And before I became a Christian, I was fascinated by music, I was fascinated by creativity, I was fascinated by films, I was fascinated by the arts, I was fascinated by all sorts of things because they captured something of the heavenlies, of spiritual things, something that pointed to something that I couldn't put my hands on. And they really intrigued me. I, as growing up, was a massive fan of Bob Marley, and I used to love reggae, and my bedroom would be pumping out Bob Marley. And what I love about Bob Marley is that he's in his music, he's able to capture just so many emotions. Things like, get up, stand up, almost like a victory song, Exodus, movement of the people, the sense of people being taken in the place of redemption, stir it up, the fact that, I was going to say, excuse me while I light my spliff, that's probably not the best song to use as an example. But there's many songs that he uses that captures something of the fullness of an expression of worship. And it's full of sadness, it's full of joy, it's full of passion, it's full of story, it's full of articulating something of his experience of trying to make sense of this world, believing that there's a God and believing something of what that God may look like to him. And that really spoke to me as a person who is a person who believed in God but wanted to understand something of what that looked like and how that expressed itself. And I became a Christian, and I went to college down in Cheltenham, and while I was down there I was studying music, drama, the creative arts, all the kind of things that you do just avoid doing serious subjects. And while I was down there, a friend of mine came to see me, and he came to visit me as people do. And we were driving out in this car, and in those days we had cassettes. I'm just saying that just to show you how old I am. And we put a cassette into the car by a worship leader called Kevin Prosh, and it was an album called Save Us, O God. And as I listened to that music, suddenly I was awakened to something that Bob Marley, when I listened to his music, awakened me to. The possibilities of God, the possibilities of a spiritual world, a possibility that when we praise God, we can tear things down, we can raise things up. The possibility in worship that we articulate the joy, the pain, every emotion of our life. Suddenly I thought, my gosh, this is what God has put in my heart from the beginning. This is something that my heart is dying trying to express. It's something that is captivating, something of what God has revealed to me. And then the album Even So Come came out, and there's another album. And that was another thing that, as I was listening to that album, I invited one of my friends around my house, which we used to do drugs with before I became a Christian, I was. And I invited him in that particular time because I had become a Christian. I'd sorted my life out in many, many areas. But I invited him to my house, and while we were sitting chatting, I said to him, do you want to listen to this album I've got? And he said, yeah, great. So I played the album Even So Come by Kevin Prosh. And when I put the music on, suddenly the Spirit of God came into the room. Suddenly the air was tangible with God's presence. Suddenly my friend, who wasn't a believer in God, says, what is this presence? What is this? What is this I'm experiencing? And I said, well, that's Jesus. That is the power of God through the worship of God's people. And you see, for me, worship is everything that we've been called to as a people. And when I was working in the city, working in TV as an editor, I was driving into work one morning, put another one of my songs on, and it was a song by Brian Dirksen. And as I was driving into work, these are the words that came through my radio. Will you worship? Will you bow down? Will you give me your heart? Will you give me everything? And as I saw that, I suddenly thought, that crystallizes a call upon a person, a people, a community to worship. And as I was listening to the song, when I was listening to the lyrics, the Lord said to me, will you give me your heart? Will you worship? Will you give me everything? And as I was beginning to think through what that meant, the Lord began to put things into my mind, that things he wanted me to give for him. The first thing he wanted me to give him a relationship I had. And at that time, you know, the relationship I had, I thought that's a person I was going to marry. Obviously, I didn't. And thank goodness I married Catherine, which is obviously a far better thing. But at the time, I had to lay down a relationship. The Lord says, I want you to lay down your job. I thought, oh, give us a break, come on. And so I said, okay, I'll lay down my job. And this is my heart, because I had no idea that actually this was actually going to mean anything. And then he began to go through different things in my life. Will you lay this down? Will you lay this down? Will you lay this down? And within a week of saying that prayer, my relationship with this person finished. Within a few weeks, I was on a plane to America, having laid down my job out into. And within that period of time, God began to say to John, will you worship me? Will you bow down? Will you give me your heart? Will you give me everything? And one of the things I've noticed with Jesus is that the reason we have to lay things down so often is because they become too important. They become bigger than Jesus. Relationships can become bigger than Jesus. Jobs, etc. And so often there's a sense of us having to die to ourselves. But in that, when we hand them over to Jesus, we begin to start that process of building trust in who Jesus is and what his nature and character is like. Can he be trusted? Can he be entrusted with your future? Can he be trusted with your relationships? Can he be trusted with your job? Can he be trusted with this? Can he be trusted with that? And as I began to hand these things over, God began to build in me a trust in who Jesus is. And as I began to do that, I began to see who Jesus was. I began to understand more about what it means to worship Jesus. I understood that when we die, you live. When the seed dies, it grows. When we give it away, we get it back. And that's why it says in Song of Songs, I'll give everything for this love. And you see, for me, God began to lead me on a place of trust in his nature and his character. And he wanted me to let go of the things that I thought were good for me, which in their own right could be good for me, but my place and my focal point was in the wrong place. But he captured me. Will you worship? Will you bow down? Will you give me your heart? Will you give me everything? And the picture, which I think demonstrates so much of that posture of worship, is the woman, the alabaster woman, who came before Jesus, potentially as an ex-prostitute, who'd been forgiven much. She came into a room full of men. She knelt down at his feet. She poured her tears at Jesus' feet. She wiped his tears with her feet. She broke up an alabaster jar full of oil and perfume. She broke at his feet, which is at least a year's wages. And she said, Jesus, you are worth it. I'll give you everything, my tears, my life, my finances, everything I've got. Here it is, I'm giving it to you. And Jesus said, you will be remembered. Whenever this story is told, you will be remembered. And see, the ultimate act of worship is when we pour upon Jesus for everything we have, and the aroma fills the room. The aroma fills Jesus, and he goes, "Ah, that is worship." And God loves the worship of his people. Don Williams, who said this, we can worship much. He's talking about worship. If we don't worship God, we worship something else, because God from the very beginning of time has made us to worship him. He says this: we can worship money and we become greedy. We can worship sex, we become lustful. We can worship power and we can become corrupt. But if we worship Jesus, we become Christ-like. So what does worship mean? Well, there's all sorts of references throughout the Bible to worship, because it's one of the key themes. But one of the in Hebrew, it means to surrender, to fall down in submission. In the New Testament, it comes from the word proscunio, which means to adore on one's knees, to prostrate oneself, to turn towards, to kiss, to show reverence. But it's also an act, a bit like the lady at the alabaster jar. It's as if coming into the presence of the king, and you're kneeling here like this, and the king offers his hand to you, and you hold his hand, you're kissing his hand, you're recognizing his lordship, who he is as God. But what he's doing, you're recognizing who he is, and he's recognizing who you are, and he reaches out to you, you kiss him, and he lifts you and he welcomes you into his presence. And in heaven we see something of this in Revelations, to do with surrender, falling down, submission. It says the 24 elders fall down before him, sitting, him who sits on the throne, and worship him forever and ever. So they fall down before him. In Revelation 7:11 it says all the creatures standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, they fell down on their face before the throne and worshipped him. And you see, that's the act of worship. In the marriage ceremony, they use the phrase this, but one of the phrases which is used probably more historically, says, "With my body, I worship you," or "With my body, I honor you." And this is the pledge of the bridegroom of total loyalty and devotion to the bride. And in the same way, it's a pledge of the bride of total loyalty and devotion to the bridegroom. You see, we know Jesus' devotion to us because we know that because of the cross. He came and laid down his life for us. He's shown his loyalty and devotion to his people by sending his son to come to us to show us what God's like. But the invitation is returned to us as the bride, as the church, for us to be loyal and devoted to the bridegroom. It says in Revelation 22, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and 'Let him who hears come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life.'" And so the Spirit and the bride are inviting a people to worship the king. It says this: "You," that meaning us, "are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that they may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And so Jesus, in bringing us from darkness into light, is releasing a people into his kingdom and into his royal family. It is a priesthood, it's a holy nation, it's a people that belong to God. What for? Why? To declare his praises. And he doesn't only want a chosen people, a royal people, he wants a holy people. He wants a people that are holy and pleasing to him. It says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And it's an amazing thing that God calls us, he invites us into relationship with us, he calls us to be a holy people, and he wants us as a people to reflect something of the nature and character of who Jesus is. So we worship Jesus, not just in spirit, but in truth. that we are true people who reflect something of God's character. And so he calls our act of worship to live a life different from that of this world, to live a life different from the patterns that we have learnt in this world, but to unlearn them through the renewing of our mind through God's grace upon us as a people. So he calls us to be a holy people, and then invites us to join with heaven in worship. It says this in Hebrews 12:22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. And so God is inviting us to worship with those in heaven which have been worshiping Jesus from the beginning of time. How do we get there? Well, we get there through the blood of Jesus. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us to the curtain that is the body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with a pure heart. I think it's the most amazing thing that Jesus has provided a means through his blood in order for us to enter the most holy place. This for me says something about God's nature. God loves us so much that he does not want to have any obstacles in the way of his love. That for me says something about his nature and character, doesn't it? The Old Testament is full of what you needed to do to cleanse, to get yourself right with God, but only the priest could ever go into the presence of God, and that was just once a year. But this invitation is to each one of us to be entering the holy place day in, day out, week in, week out. And through this access, it's even more amazing, Revelation 4, this access opens a door for us into the place of heaven. It says this: after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I'd heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I'll show you what must take place after this. And then through the door of heaven, we see an incredible image of God. It says that they had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembled an emerald encircled over the throne. There's thousands upon thousands worshipping, flashes of lightning, rumblings, pearls of thunder, blazing this, blazing that. An incredible image of who Jesus is in heaven. And God has opened a door in order that we can participate with those in heaven to worship God. And on Friday, Catherine, me, Paddy, Salah, and our children went to the aquatic centre up in Blanchardstown. I don't know if you've been up there. It's a great place. And we went up there with Zach, and he hasn't been swimming for quite a while. So we kind of went there, brought our children out into the sort of where the place was, the big pirate ship with water pouring down. And then there was this kind of, there's the area where you can swim. And we got in there, and Zach began to scream and scream. I don't want to, I don't want to be here. For goodness sake, this is ridiculous. What on earth are you dragging me here for? And so we took him to the pirate ship. And in the pirate ship, there's these huge jets of water. So that didn't help. So he's absolutely terrified there. So we then led him into the pool, which is very, very shallow at one end, going out into the depths. And we got in there with him, screaming, no, 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 I don't want this. No, I want my mummy. I don't want you, daddy. I want my mummy, and all this kind of stuff. And so he really didn't want to be there. He really, it's the last place he wants. We thought, well, for 16 euros, you're going to be staying there, son. So anyway, so after a while, we took him back into the pirate place, and he was able to sit in the water, and he began to think, actually, this is okay. And then he splashed, then he realized he could splash me, and he thought that was very funny, so he began to splash me. And then he splashed like this, and then sort of sat up, and then we took him into the bigger pool, and he got in this end, he sat down, and then he reached up and splashed, and started splashing, and he put his face in the water. And before we knew it, I was leading him out into the deep. And he was loving it. And I just think this is very much with worship, and I think it's very much with the things of God's Spirit. When we first approach it, we think, oh my gosh, I don't want to go in there. Why on earth would I want to go in there? One, I'm going to get wet. And two, it's just overwhelming. And sometimes you think, my, it's terrifying. We think, you know, this is really not what I'm made to do. But I believe in that picture, God wants to lead us into the shallow to start with, in order to lead us into the deep. Ezekiel 47, it starts ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, overwhelming deep. But you've got to get in there somewhere. And sometimes it's scary to get in because we're not sure what it's going to be like. But as we begin to enter into that place, it's a place of trust because of who Jesus is. And then we begin to see, actually, God wants to lead us into these deep places because deep calls unto deep. God wants us to know something of the depth of him. And we can't see that in the shallows, but he wants to lead us into the depths. And the thing, one of the things that God's been really revealing to me is that I, as a person, have probably, what's the word I'd say, that I've assumed that people are happy to jump in the deep. But sometimes people haven't even been able to be given the chance of getting in the shallow end. And there's people here who think, oh my God, that's a terrifying thing. You know, to come forward to be prayed for. Actually, sometimes we need to, you know, just to make an environment where people can feel safe. An environment where people can gradually start that process of moving from, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be doing this, this is too much for me, into this wonderful place, being led into the depths of God. Because it's the most beautiful place. And so I believe part of the call upon us, the church, is that the Lord wants to lead us into the depths of God. And I love this verse in John that says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And what I love about this is God's relationship to us is always initiated by him. Worship is always initiated by him. For me, it's a bit like a plant being drawn to the sun. It's the sun that draws us out and towards and become beautiful. And because he so loves us, he meets us where we are, where we're at, in order to lead us into that wonderful relationship with him. And I'll quickly fly through this last bit, but so how does God reveal himself to us? I mean, God reveals himself to us through many, many different ways. But one of the ways God reveals himself to us, and I'm going to talk about scripture and by the Spirit in a minute, but it's through creation, as I mentioned earlier. It says this, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And I think it's just wonderful when you look at creation, when you walk out in creation, you realize the amazing creative power that God has and what God has done. And so for me, that gives us an indication of something of his nature and character, that he's a creative God. And so he wants to release the creativity within the church through music, through sound, through art, through, you know, through whatever it is. That for me points something to his creative character. But also, I think something in the Psalms we alluded to earlier is creation is already worshiping God. It's pour forth of speech, declaring the glory of the Lord. Everything out there is worshiping. Everything's already saying, Jesus, Lord, Jesus, Lord. And when I was in America, I had to lead worship for a bunch of college students at one time, and that was very interesting. But I remember reading this verse in Luke. It says, when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And so here we see something of God's, through creation, crying out to God because of who Jesus is. And when I was leading worship at this event house in America to these young people, it was one of those times where it was a lot of young people, kind of, you go out to lead worship and a lot of this, you know. Come on then. And it's quite a difficult environment to go into. So we had a time of worship, and it's like the beginning, because like always, God begins to break in. But at the time, it was quite a difficult time. And I had finished the meeting, and I met up with a couple of guys who are part of the team, and we talked about it after. And I said, well, next time, you know, I lead worship, can you make sure you pack that room full of rocks? And he says, well, why is that? I said, release the whole worship. So creation worships, creation shows something of God's nature and character. And so I'm not going to do all the stuff of this another time, actually, but I'm going to capture one thing here. One of the people I love to listen to who, for me, captures something of creation, something of the sense of God, the sense of a spiritual understanding, is Van Morrison. I don't know if any of you here like Van Morrison, but I just love sometimes his music. And I love walking out through creation. And I love, and there's a place I used to walk to when I was living in High Wycombe, up by the Thames. And as I used to walk up there, I used to listen to Van Morrison, and as I began to walk, you hear the songs, you know, a sense of wonder, the sense of, you know, he talks about so many things about God and creation, nature. And as I began to do that, I was walking up through this creation, and as I was doing this, I listened to the music, I was looking at the water, the creation, the God's beauty. And as I began to do that, I began to see God would reveal something in something I looked at, and then he'd reveal something here and then something here, and I began to see this kind of amalgamation of creation, of worship, of this and the other. And as I began to explore in my own life, I began to see that God's creation is something which is very, very good. How do we know that? Genesis says that. And so, like a few weeks ago, just one of the ministry times, I just played a bit of music, and then I mixed through the music some live sounds of waves crashing upon the rocks, or things like waterfalls, or things like this and the other. And what we're doing in that is offering back to God that which he's already created. And I'm only saying this because it might sound weird to some people, but I just think sometimes we've got to open our eyes to the potential of worship, because worship in heaven is not just going to be guitar. Creation is going to be declaring forth the glory of God. There's going to be movement, there's going to be this, that, and the other. And so I suppose what we're saying is actually we want to learn what it means to worship Jesus, obviously in spirit and truth, but in the dynamics of who God is. And so that, I suppose, just so we can have communion, for me is this, that God has called us to be a worshiping people. His call to us is, will you worship? Will you bow down? Will you give your heart? Will you give me everything? And when we give him everything, we begin to see that he can be trusted. And when we can see that he can be trusted, we begin to understand more fully who he is. And as we read God's word, as we wait on him, and as we spend time in his presence, we believe to see more and more that God is just so for us. And I suppose for me that I never want to miss that out. Firstly, we've always got to give God what is due. But secondly, there's something out of our worship that is so beneficial to us, the people, because we know who he is alongside us. So what we're going to do now is Rob's going to lead us in communion, which is the ultimate act of worship, as Jesus did upon the cross. And we're going to enjoy this together, and Rob will lead us in that, and then we'll close.